Well, we like to think of ourselves as just being humans, but in fact, there are as many cells from bacteria in our body as there are human cells. And so to miss that is kind of to lose a lot of information about what is the human condition.
That's Scott Anderson, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Scott Anderson is a veteran science journalist. He joins us to talk about the psychobiotic revolution, mood, food, and the new science of gut-brain connection. He co-wrote the book along with two world-renowned researchers from the APC Microbiome Institute. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us about your co-authors and how you came together to write this book.
I have been working with racehorses here in Ohio and have noticed that they had gut issues, and with those gut issues came some sort of mental problems. They seemed to be dragging around, and I looked around for information about this kind of connection between the gut and the brain, and I came across the word psychobiotic, and it turned out it was a term that was coined by Ted Dynan and John Cryan, who are these two brilliant Irish researchers, and they saw that there were bacteria, certain bacteria, that if you ate them in sufficient quantities, they could improve your mood. And so I thought, this is what I need to talk about. And I contacted them and asked them if they'd like to write a book about this. I've written many science books, and they said, that sounded like a good idea. So we set off to figure out what was going on, even though at the time when we first started, it was mainly animal studies. They knew that there were some human studies in the pipeline, and we were able to put those into the book as well.
Now, you point out in the book that when it comes to our genes, we're only 1% human, and the rest are really in a constant state of change. Explain more what you mean by that.
Well, we like to think of ourselves as just being humans, but in fact, there are as many cells from bacteria in our body as there are human cells. And so to miss that is kind of to lose a lot of information about what is the human condition. Each of those bacteria have their own genetic suite of particular genes that can do many millions of things. And there are 100 times more bacterial genes in our body than human genes. And that is a way that the body has figured out that if we form an alliance with these microbes, that we can be protected against the nasty pathogens of the world. That alliance has been there with us for millennia. And those bacteria that are good are called commensals, and those are the bacteria that we want. We want a diverse set of bacteria, and if we don't, like we don't in the Western diet, we've managed to kill off a lot of bacteria. In fact, some of those bacteria may be going extinct, and we're doing this at great detriment to our health.
So we have this symbiotic relationship. The microbiome impacts both our physical and mental well-being. But if we're not feeling well and we're depressed, then also that has an impact on our microbiome.
Exactly. It's a two-way street. So if your gut is out of balance, if you've got a lot of bad microbes, or if you have just a really narrow set of microbes, then that can cause anxiety and depression. But similarly, stress in your life can send information down to your gut that can change the microbes down there as well. And that can end up being a vicious spiral where if you're always under stress, you're making your microbes worse, and that in turn makes you more anxious. So this is one of the things that we talk about in the book, is how to break out of that nasty, vicious cycle.
Well, this also is all part of this idea that there are really two brains going on. You have the brain we think of as in our head, but also we have the second brain that's in our gut.
Yes, the brain in our gut can actually pump food and all of that stuff independently of the brain in your head. It's not a job that you should be in charge of, because we're still trying to find where we left our car keys. And you don't want to leave that kind of information up to the brain itself. So that's been devolved down to the gut. The gut can do all of these things on its own, and it does it using neurotransmitters, the same kinds of chemicals that you have in your brain that allows your nerve cells to talk to each other. That exists in your gut as well. And in fact, 90% of the serotonin in your body, which is a neurotransmitter that's used in your brain and is also the target of a lot of antidepressants, 90% of the serotonin is in your gut. So we have had a sobering waking up period here, while we realize that the things that we all formerly thought were just in your brain actually are all connected very tightly with your gut as well.
Well, I want to talk in just a few moments about what we can do to make that gut happier and make our lives healthier. But let's talk a little bit about the research. There's been animal research, some human research. How has this changed over the years? What are we learning?
Well, the studies that were done that were really brilliant and breakthrough studies were done with what they call germ-free mice. These are mice that are raised in a completely sterile environment and have no bacteria whatsoever. And we found out that those mice were different than other mice. Their brains did not develop normally. Their immune system didn't develop normally. And they had an overreaction to stress. So we looked at that and realized, well, this is kind of interesting that lack of bacteria could be doing all these things. And it turned out if you fed these mice some specific prebiotics, that their brains started to develop normally and their stress reactions normalized. But if they did it after 3 weeks, it wasn't able to fix it. So there is a window of opportunity, and the same window of opportunity operates in humans. In the first 2 years, you're developing your microbiota, which is the microbes that live in your gut. And after that, it's going to be hard to change them. So the best intervention that we can do is before you're 2 years old. But there are still ways to deal with it as you get older.
Tell us more about what we're learning about the connection between our biome and our health, various health conditions that in the past we may not have attributed to the biome.
It's astonishing how many diseases are related to the gut. Lately, we've discovered that things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, many of these diseases have depression along with them. And it turns out that they also are related to what happens in your gut. Parkinson's, for instance, starts in your gut and takes about 10 to 20 years to move its way up into your brain. So these are things that are likely caused by, at least in some percentage of the cases, are likely caused by a bad microbiota and what we call dysbiosis, where the bacteria are not properly balanced and you have way too many pathogens producing neurotransmitters and actually causing disease that can spread up through the vagus nerve, which is a wandering nerve that goes between your gut and your brain.
Let's talk about some of the things that we can do to create a healthier community within our body. What are some of the things we need to be aware of as we consume food that will have an impact on our biome?
The problem stems from about 50 years ago when we decided that fat was bad and manufacturers decided that they would create low-fat foods and replace the fat with sugar. And that turned out to be bad on two counts. One is fat is not that bad, and two, sugar is terrible. So what we have done to ourselves in the last 50 years, and you can trace this back through all the diseases that we're seeing, we have taken the fiber out and as a consequence put sugar in, and now we are seeing these epidemics of diseases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, all these things, depression. 350 million people worldwide are afflicted with depression. And the WHO, the World Health Organization, says that's the number one cause of disability. And we've done it to ourselves by improperly changing our diets, by changing our diets to please manufacturers more than to please the health of the customer. And so we need to bring this back. This is what we can do. And the book talks a lot about how many ways there are that you can gain control over your gut bacteria and get back to normal and get back to feeling well.
Give us an example of some positive foods that we should be consuming.
Well, food with fiber is what we're recommending, and that includes foods that you might not be, some of you won't even be aware of. The Jerusalem artichokes are very high in fiber. They're a kind of a little potato that tastes a little bit like an artichoke, but they are really a sunflower. They're probably at the top of the list. Then there's things that you have heard of, asparagus, artichokes, onions, leeks, garlic. These are the things that are high in fiber. And if you put them into your diet, if you can possibly put them into your diet, you will gain some more fiber that will feed your good bacteria and starve out your bad bacteria. Your bad bacteria want sugar. So the idea is to move away from sugar and toward the fiber.
What role do dietary supplements play?
We are not necessarily gung-ho on probiotics because right now probiotics are not regulated by the FDA. But there are some that have been studied, and some have been studied more than others. And in the book, we talk about which ones you might want to trust more than the others. Some studies have shown that certain probiotics, which are not really operating under good manufacturing practices, what's on the label may not be what's in the bottle. And so those are things we want you to stay away from. We talk about in the book which ones of those you should stay away from. Then there's prebiotics, which are the fiber. That's the fiber that we've been talking about. Fiber is good for you, and there are some formulas, there are some supplements you can buy on the market where the fiber is in a powder form, and you can mix it in with your orange juice or your coffee or whatnot, and those can work pretty well too. But our primary recommendation is to change your diet to include more vegetables and fermented foods. Fermented foods not only have the prebiotics, but they have the probiotics in terms of bacteria in substances like yogurt and kimchi and sauerkraut, so even pickles. You have to be careful that you don't get the pasteurized version, because they've just killed all of the good bacteria by pasteurizing it. But those are some really good solutions. We talk about which particular ones might be good for you and show you how to monitor to see if they're really doing the job.
As we learn more about psychobiotics and the impact that our gut has on our overall health, do you think this is eventually going to make a big change in the medical community?
I think it will. Doctors are not typically taught any microbiology at all. And so when I talk to doctors, I find out that they are frankly admitting that they just don't know what that stuff is all about. It's important that they do, and it's a sad thing that they don't. I think doctors are going to, once they start reading like books like this, they might see that a lot of the problems that they're dealing with very harsh drugs that may have side effects, can possibly be ameliorated just by proper diet and getting some of these pre and probiotics in their body.
Scott, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Scott Anderson's book is The Psychobiotic Revolution: Mood, Food, and the New Science of Gut-Brain Connection. More interviews on a wide variety of topics are available at kpr.ku.edu/conversations. You can also use our KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.